The invitation's on.
We learned about his apostles thinking they were going to die on the Sea of Galilee, but Jesus calmed the storm. We learned about the man who was possessed by demons, had no control over anything he did, but he was still healed. And today I want to read from beginning in verse 40 to the end of the chapter. Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 40. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl about 12 years old, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead, but he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. Here at the end of this chapter, we have two people of great faith. This woman who, of course, all these people were here to see Jesus, crowding around, crushing him. His apostles were trying to get him out of there and get him to a safe place. And a man approached saying, "My daughter's dying." He believed that Jesus could save her. Then the woman, and other accounts in the Gospels said that she'd been suffering from this bleeding for so many years. She spent everything she had, paying many different doctors and other physicians, trying to find a cure, and nothing worked. There wasn't one doctor, there wasn't one person on earth that she came in contact with, and she gave up everything she had that could help her. But she still believed. No one had the answer for her. No one knew why. I know there's a lot of people here. I don't think there's anybody here in this room that is not related to someone, not connected, doesn't know someone who is suffering from some kind of illness, some kind of terminal disease that, unfortunately, there's no cure. Our bulletin that goes out every week has a list of people that either have back problems or health problems or dying from cancer. And we're praying and praying and praying every day that God will heal them. when doctors say, there's nothing we can do, we might be able to try this. Sometimes this works. Or unfortunately, you only have this much left to live. This woman had no answers. There was no future for her. And when we looked yesterday at the man who was possessed by many demons and everything that he had lost, his family, his friends, the people that he loved, he couldn't be around anybody. He had to live in the tombs. He had no control over himself whatsoever. This woman, you can go back and look in the book of Leviticus and find out that when people are bleeding, they can't go and worship God with everybody. Now, we've got a good, pretty good crowd here. And I know that not everybody in every single youth group that's here today got to be here with their group. And I know that there's some that maybe didn't want to go, but there's always at least one person that really wanted to go to the youth rally, and they couldn't, whether it was a football game or something else going on in their schedule. They didn't have the money. They didn't find out in time. There's always reasons. There's always excuses. But they wish they could be here. Sometimes on Sunday mornings, you wake up, the alarm goes off, and I'm thinking, it cannot be 8 a.m. already. And I lay there and wonder, do I really have to go to church today? And I think, am I signed up to do anything? No, I'm not leading singing. I better not be doing the sermon because I don't have one written yet. Do I have to help out with, you know, communion? Am I teaching a class? You know what? I could just stay here, lay in bed, and relax, and get my strength back. And you know what? If I show up at 6 o'clock, it might be better because I'm going to be in a better mood and people might actually like me when I'm there. And, you know, I come up with all these excuses of, do I really have to get up and get dressed and take a shower? I think that one's optional sometimes. And come to church. Careful when you give me a hug. Might be pretty ripe. But this was a woman that wanted to be with God's people. She wanted to be surrounded by everyone who was worshiping and singing praises and reading from God's word, and she couldn't. According to God's law, she could not. And for all these years, what she wanted the most was just to feel the presence of God. And she wanted it so bad, she crawled through that crowd, and she reached and she thought, I'm not even going to get to talk to him. If I can just touch the edge of his clothes, I believe. I believe in Jesus so much. I believe in his power so much that that's going to fix everything. And she did. And Jesus says, who touched me? And they go, oh, gee, let's see. Maybe him, maybe her, maybe him. Who hasn't touched you? We're trying to get you out of here. What kind of question is that? He says, no. Who touched me? According to the text here, she couldn't keep it a secret. I guess everyone's saying, not me. And he says to her, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Jairus believed that Jesus could save his daughter. And even though she died, even though everybody was sad to lose her, Jesus said to him, believe, don't worry. Just believe. And the people laughed. That's what we come in contact with. Trying to listen to the voice of truth, we have people that say, there is no answer. There is no hope. You keep praying, and you keep looking in the Bible, and you keep going to church, and you keep believing in God. But look at you. You still have problems. You still do bad things. We have all these different voices around us that are saying, God is not the answer. Listen to your own voice. Listen to my voice. Do this. And it's tough. It doesn't make sense to us. Just like Elijah the prophet I talked about last night. He did everything right. It's supposed to work out. Why is it not working? Well, the crying and the laughter turned into happiness because Jesus was able to save that girl's life. We can't just hear the word like Jesus says. Don't just hear and not understand, but we have to apply it to our hearts. We have to apply it to our lives. Turn to James chapter 1 with me. And while we flip there, is Jacob, Oliver? Here, there you go. Come up here. Please. I love Jacob. If you've ever, one of my favorite things with Jake is going camping. If you've ever been camping with Jake, it's a great experience. You're getting tall. Stand here. Okay, I got to turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I'm going to start reading verse 19. He says, "My brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring around the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself..." You see where I'm going with this? Okay. "After looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." Whenever I read this, I always go, yeah, easier said than done. Okay. Quick to listen. Slow to speak. I wish. Slow to become angry, if only. But that's the way. That's the way we have to live our lives, James says. He says, if you don't, you're being ridiculous. It's like you wake up in the morning. Jacob is the perennial whenever we go up to the Kern River. He always wins the award for scariest hair award. It's like if you woke up in the morning, all right, you look in the mirror. This isn't even. You look at yourself in the mirror and you go, and then you turn around and go to school and go to work and you think, okay, no big deal, I look fine. And you wonder, why is everybody laughing at me? I think they're laughing at me. They're laughing with you. They're laughing with you. That's how ridiculous it is, James says. You can't just hear the word of God and go, okay, that sounds pretty good. And then go off and live your life any way you want. Well, you can, but you're going to get laughed at. Your friends are laughing at you. Some friends. I'm going to fix it. You should be so lucky. I never have this problem. Go sit down. There was a day. There was a day where I had to look in the mirror every morning. Really? If anybody has been here this weekend and heard all the lessons that have been presented and been around all the encouraging spirit that we have, and you go home and just go back to your normal life of hanging out with people you're not supposed to be hanging out with, getting involved in things that you shouldn't be around, continuing to just do whatever you want and not what God wants, that's ridiculous. But everyone around us, the world around us is doing that. They're trying to take us with them too. God says, no, listen to the voice of truth. This word of God, this voice of truth that we've been reading about this weekend has amazing power to change people's lives. Go back to Luke chapter 8. We have to listen to God and not everyone around us. Yes, Jesus changed these people's lives with the miraculous power that he had, but it didn't stop there. He wanted them to continue to listen to him, plant that word in their hearts, and then go out and do great things in their lives. He said to the apostles, after he calmed the storm, "Where's your faith? Where is your faith? Find it, figure it out, strengthen it, believe in it." He said to the crazy psycho naked man that ran after him after he was healed and all those demons were cast out of him. He said to him, "Return home and tell everybody what God has done for you." He said to the woman, "Your faith has healed you. Go in peace." And he said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." He says all these things to us too today. That's how we're planting his word in our heart. That's how, when we listen to it intently, when we look into it, we consider what that means to us, and then we take it with us. When we do that, we're going to be blessed in what we do. We're going to yield a crop that's much more. How many hours are invested in this weekend, just everybody being here? 1 year. 1 year of church. If you go Sunday morning, Sunday night, and every Wednesday night, that was all crammed into this 1 3-day event. Take that with you. You've already been strengthened. This 3 days that you've spent here is going to benefit you and your life and the others in your youth group and church and everyone around you for a long, long time. Sometimes people ask me, how can you still get up there and run around? And, you know, I didn't go out toilet papering last night. I actually went to bed at 9:45. It was great. I've never done that before in my life at a youth rally. Say, how can you still do this? How can you still make it? It's because when I was 14 years old, I came to this very youth rally. And something was planted in my heart. And it keeps growing, and I keep producing a crop, and you don't always see it, but people around me every once in a while say, I can see the effects of that. It's great. If we believe and hear and listen and plant God's word in our heart, what we have, we will be given more. If we continue to keep these words to heart, and not just remember them, but actually put them into practice in our lives, then we will be blessed. We will be Christ's real brothers and real sisters and real family that he cares about, like he said in Luke chapter 8. This word is powerful. Apostle Paul said, to the intent that all powers and principalities in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, to his eternal purpose that he fulfilled in Christ Jesus our Lord. This was his eternal purpose. Even before he said, let there be light, he wanted to create all of us. He wanted to love all of us. He wanted everyone to have this great experience here at the Youth Forum this weekend. He knew that we weren't going to be perfect, and he provided a sacrifice for us, his son, to die on the cross. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and was here on earth. And that was all God's plan. He fulfilled all of this through Christ. Turn with me to John chapter 19. We can't discount the words of Jesus. We can't just listen and let it drift over us and go on our lives. Every single word, every syllable, everything that Jesus said that's recorded here in this book, and a lot that's not even in there, was for a purpose, and he meant it. Look at John chapter 19, starting in verse 28. It says, later, knowing that all was now completed, and so the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Three words, those are his last words. It is finished. It is finished. The whole plan for God from before the creation of the universe is now complete. It is finished. That's where his last words. Those are the words and the voice of truth. And that's what he wanted to leave the entire earth with before he died and he rose back from the dead and went to heaven. It is finished. looking at these characters from the Bible, hearing from those that participated in the youth forum this weekend, life isn't easy. But we have to believe. We have to listen. The nice thing is, Jesus took care of all of it. It is finished. And he wanted to be clear. Here, right here in this passage, he'd been hanging on the cross for 6 hours. Nails driven through his hands, his feet, his back already shredded from the punishment he received before the cross. And he's hanging there for 6 hours. His lungs filling up with fluid, his voice and mouth parched from being out there in the air for 6 hours. And he knew this was it. Everything had been fulfilled. He did everything that God the Father wanted him to do here on earth, and this was it. And he says, I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty because I'm going to say 3 more words. And it's going to be the most important 3 words that I'm going to say this whole time I've been here on earth. And they give him something to drink, and he clears his throat. And he says, I think there's supposed to be an exclamation point here. It is finished. The storms of life that we have to face and all the violent disasters that are going on around us that distract us from God, that make us worry, it's finished. Jesus fixed it. It's not a problem anymore. When we suffer from addictions and habits and things that we feel like we have no control over, when we literally have no control over our own body anymore, and it seems like there's never any going back, we've hit rock bottom, and there's nothing else we can do but just give in. No, Jesus said, it is finished. When it seems like there's no answers and we go to everyone and we exhaust every single opportunity that there is and it seems like there's no hope, Jesus says, it's finished. There is hope. And when it seems like things are getting so bad, when we're so far from God and we feel like there's no turning back and we feel like we're dying, Jesus says, it is finished. He finished it. Anything that can be of harm to us, anything that can pull us away, anything that goes against that voice of truth, Jesus assures us in those last 3 words of his life, it's finished. He's taken care of it. He bowed his head and he died. He gave his life so that none of those things can ever get in the way between us and God ever again. But we have to believe. We have to have faith. We have to have persistence and never give up and listen to those words and plant them in our hearts, apply it to our lives, and put it into practice. The Word of God is powerful. It's a fact. God's Word is able to calm storms, to expel demons, to heal us in ways that no one else on earth can, and to even raise the dead. For those of us that take advantage of that, there will be a day when we're all raised up and we'll be with God in heaven forever one day. That's what he wants, and that's what we have. Just a minute, we're going to sing a song that talks about the blood of Christ. And I don't care how bad things get. I don't care where you're coming from. I don't care what you've done. Everything can be erased. Everyone can start over new if you have your sins washed away in the blood of Christ through baptism. When we stand up and sing this song, I want to invite anybody to come up if they wish. If you have anything on your heart that you want to share, if you want to be baptized and become a Christian, we can do that right now. If you want us to pray for you, if there's anything you want to say or share with us, walk right up here and talk to us while we stand, sing this song.